next item, Jody?
Item number three is our Mental Health Emergency Center update and presentation by Mr. Kevin Klusner.
Excellent. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I see some faces that are familiar now after our open houses that we had last week. It's good to be here. So I'm just going to run through some things, and if you have some questions, I can take them. We're opening up on the morning of September 6th for voluntary patients, and on September 9th, we're opening up for all patients, and again, for patients with a serious mental health crisis. Mike wants me to stress that, and it's not a walk-in clinic, but when we open up on the 9th, that's when PCS will be closing. So we've worked very closely with Milwaukee County to make sure that we don't have a disruption in service. We're very close to filling all of our RN positions, which we feel really good about, and not that far away from filling all of our tech positions. As you can imagine, the greatest need right now is on the night shifts, but we've done a really good job, I think, with all of the partners helping out in terms of recruitment. At this point, you know, with most of our positions filled, it's roughly 2/3 of our staff are people of color. That's something that we wanted to really work on so that our staff reflects the community that we serve as much as possible. And I do want to give a shout out to Mike Lappin, Linda Osius, and Steve Ellison to helping us with this transition from PCS to MHEC while avoiding this disruption in service. Because as you can imagine, I mean, if the employees who are coming over, who are coming from Ascension, and we have some coming from Advocate Aurora, you know, we're able to get them in 5-6 weeks early, work on training. It's very helpful. With Milwaukee County, because Milwaukee County has to keep PCS up and running, again, they've been working with us very closely, but we've been getting people from PCS that are going to migrate over when we open. We've been getting them for, you know, like a day at a time, and we will do a great job of coaching them up and making sure everybody's on the same page. But I just want people to understand some of the complexity of making that happen, especially since we've got this overlap. You know, we have this soft opening on the 6th. We're still maintaining the operations of PCS until the 9th. So there's just a lot of plates in the air. Also want to just make sure that people understand we have been trying to work really hard with other stakeholders, and in particular with law enforcement, since half of our patients, if we see the same mix of patients that PCS does, half of our patients will be coming in involuntary. So Mike and I went to MCLEA, the Milwaukee County Law Enforcement Association, presented there. We have been working to...
Did you just call?
I'm sorry, what was that? I thought I heard a question. So anyway, we have developed, with the help of Kane Communications and Milwaukee Police Department, we've developed a video to try to help the law enforcement understand what's going to happen when they bring people and how we'll work through things with them. We also had that taken back to MCLEA so that this isn't just how we work with Milwaukee Police Department, but how we'll work with Oak Creek, Wauwatosa, West Allis, everybody. We should have that available. We should have that available by actually tomorrow, end of day. And we'll get that out so that there's almost 2 weeks to disseminate that information. We've also been working very closely with EMS and the fire department, trying to make sure that we understand their needs and they're ready to help support us. You know, one of the things we need to make sure that they understand is we're not going to be a burden on the 911 system, but if we call them, we're going to really need them. And one of the things they wanted us to understand is we will get patients who are going to come into MHEC who think that we're an emergency department. It's just going to happen by accident. Any kind of a medical facility, even though it says mental health very clearly once we unveil the signs. And so we're doing what we can to be able to stabilize patients, even though we won't be an advanced life support facility. So we have been working with Chief Parrish on that type of thing. Also, we've been working with the area medical emergency physicians and administrators to make sure that they understand the transition and some of the changes that are happening. Last week, between Tuesday and Wednesday, we had over 250 community members tour the facility during two open houses. Lots of stakeholders from, you know, all across the community. And I do want to also thank the mental health board members who toured, the task force members who toured, and we also welcomed the board stakeholder advisory council and had them come in. And I'll tell you that the feedback from stakeholders and community groups, I believe, has been overwhelmingly positive. That said, we have received some input, and I'll call them opportunities for improvement from different community groups that we are actively working to address. And some of them are simple. You know, we had an issue when we had people through, and it was pointed out that all of our artwork was really kind of landscapes and sunsets and flowers. And it was nice, but it really didn't represent our community, didn't represent Milwaukee. And so we reached out to Reginald Baylor. Reggie has been in the community. I first met him when he was the artist in residence at the Pfister. But anyway, we found six pieces of his that I think do represent the community, and negotiated a price with him. And then when he sent the invoice, he only charged us for five and basically said, I believe in what you guys are doing and I want to be part of it. And so we were able to actually get those up in time for those community open houses. Some of the things that have come up are going to take a little bit more time and and effort. You know, in today's psych crisis service out on Watertown Plank, law enforcement and voluntary patients all use one entrance. And that was seen as a problem because law enforcement for some patients can really be a trigger. And so in the design of the building, there were two entrances set up. And, you know, they're not that far away. And part of the reason that they're not that far away is because there is some common areas, some quiet rooms that need to be used from both sides. So we are looking at addressing that, though. And different ways that we think we can do that is one with some kind of a privacy fence. We want to make sure it still looks aesthetically good. And then we can put, you know, plantings on one or both sides of that. And then the other one would be just heavier plantings so that it creates more of a visual barrier. But I just want to let people know we are actively working on that. Other things that we're working on include making sure that we've got a really good handle on how we're going to take care of the visitors that come. And I say visitors, but really it's, you know, if somebody brings a child or an adolescent, they will accompany that child or adolescent as we take care of that, the patient. With adults, that's not really been the way that it's typically done around the country or at PCS. And there are a lot of reasons for that have to do with the privacy and the safety of other patients, but we really are taking a hard look at what we can do so that we make sure that if the adult patients want their family members or loved ones to be part of their care, we are going to do everything we can to make sure we communicate with them and make that a relationship so that that family can help strengthen the care that's provided. The only other thing I would bring up is we also had a couple of questions about people with disability. And I really appreciate the fact that Shakita LeGrant basically asked if a couple of people from the county who are represent the county in this area or experts in this area could come through and tour the building and see if they could find some things that we could improve on. And obviously, the county is a 50% partner. We had them come through. They found six things, and five of them are going to be really easy fixes. One of them we're going to have to look at. It's got to do with the way that if a person in a wheelchair comes in and they need to slide into the shower, the way that it's set up right now, you really can't do that. And the reason is it's because of ligature proofing. So we're just trying to find a solution to that. One thing that was talked about was just removing those. And we have them in, I think, two or three of the six inpatient rooms. But if you just remove them, now you don't have a place for somebody to sit. And if a person has disability, it's easier to sit in the shower. So we're just kind of weighing that. We're not going to make some kind of a knee-jerk reaction. It certainly isn't illegal, and it met the, you know, the when the state came through to make sure that we were in compliance, they gave it their blessing. But we'll work through that with Shakita and her team and make sure we come up with the best solution we can. But that's really it. You know, our leadership team right now is just, you know, I just want to make sure they don't feel overwhelmed. And as you can imagine, everybody's kind of drinking out of five fire hoses as we get to the finish line. But I, you know, I love the fact that there is so much collaboration. I want this group to understand that, I mean, Mike and I, my boss from Advocate Aurora, Jessica Small, Dr. John Schneider, Jennifer Bergerson from Granite Hills, we meet on a weekly basis to talk about issues, because if Granite Hills can't do what they need to do, then PCS and MHEC suffer. If any one of us, these cogs in the wheel, aren't working, then our patients, and I use that, the collective hour, are going to suffer. And so the other thing we talked about is we're going to keep this going after we're up and running, not just on a short-term basis, but even longer, because I think everybody sees ways that the system could potentially improve. We're not going to be able to improve everything before we open on September 6th, but we're committed to that. This isn't just, let's just get it up and running and then we go our way and the, you know, the system goes its way. And also, I meet a weekly separate meeting with Linda Oshis and Steve. And then Mike and I meet on a weekly basis just to see if there's anything that the two of us as administrators need to get done. So that's really a lot, and I think a short period of time. But if you have questions or whatever, I'm willing to take those. I don't know.
Shirley?
I just want to echo some of the comments that are in the chat, Kevin, for your leadership and how, you know, you're making things happen down at MHEC. Just a couple of questions. I know you've held a number of open houses. Is there still an opportunity for people to come by before you open? Or who do we have to talk with? Let's say if I wanted to bring my staff through there. Just to take a look at that. Is that still possible?
I would say on a very limited basis. So the only reason I say that is it's there's just so much going on here right now.
Okay.
You know, but that said, I just had two people from, you know, the Wauwatosa Police Department this morning at 7:30. You know,
okay.
So if you just email me,
okay.
Absolutely. And if there's somebody else too, I know, you know, like Mary reached out to me. She said, you know, if you're open to it, I'd like to come talk. And, you know, we talked for an hour and a half, I think, Mary. And I think I got a better appreciation for Mary and her perspective. And hopefully, Mary, you got a little of my perspective. But, you know, I think sometimes in the past, and I'm not saying this group, but between the health systems and Milwaukee County, it always seemed like there was a lot of finger pointing going on. And, you know, I really would like to stop that as much as possible. And when I talk to law enforcement, for instance, I'm telling them, if you see something we're doing and it's not meeting your needs, please get a hold of me. Get a hold of me personally. And I will do what I can, because we're going to be meeting every day and talking about what happened the last 24 hours. What did we do right? What didn't we do as well as we could? And we're going to work on improving those things. If we see certain things that show up more, then we're going to do a deeper dive on that, and we'll get better at it. But I told the law enforcement, I'm telling everybody, if we see something that they're doing and it's not appropriate, I'm going to call them. And I told them, I'm not going to be laying blame. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. I just want to keep getting better. Because if you leave things go, then they just get worse and worse. And all of a sudden now there's distrust built up. And I really want this group to know, I have a hell of a leadership team here. Every one of them is here for the right reasons. So if we mess up, we're messing up with our hearts in the right place and our intentions are pure. It's just that maybe some people are overwhelmed in the beginning. And I'm not going to use that as an excuse for anybody, including myself, because I'll own everything. But I'm just saying, you know, I know we'll make mistakes when we open up, but it's going to be a spirit of learning, getting better. But Shirley, that was a long-winded answer. You want to come in, you let me know. We can do it early. We can do it late, whatever.
Okay. My other question, I think, is the accessibility of the video you mentioned earlier. It sounds like that was a very efficient way to communicate to law enforcement what you do and how you will work with them. Is that something that we, the board, could take a look at, or is it going up on a website? Or
it's just for law enforcement. I mean, certainly, okay. I think your group could look at it if you want to.
Sure.
And I'm gonna be, you know, as we do things, I'm gonna be very open and honest. If you look at that, one of the things you're gonna say, I'm saying the group, you'll be like, there's nobody. No, there's not an African-American in that shoot. And, you know, that I think in hindsight was, I mean, it's just an oversight. I wouldn't want to have the patient necessarily be African-American.
Right.
When Milwaukee PD provided an officer, the officer that was available that day was a Caucasian. I needed to throw somebody out there and pull somebody away. I needed to use somebody who was already trained up. And so I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. It's a 3.5-minute video for law enforcement. But again, I'm going to be transparent. If somebody wants to say, please understand, that's not meant for anybody. And I guess the one good thing is that patient is Caucasian also. But I own that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you for the good questions, Shirley. I know Denise has her hands up, but I just very, very quickly, Denise, no disrespect. Kevin, I want to tell you that I've been through MHEC several times. First of all, commending you on addressing some of the aesthetic concerns and your openness to feedback. And the last tour I did, which was probably within the last week and a half, your staff, man, they have enthusiasm. They know their stuff. They are happy to be there. So whatever water they're drinking, you know, just keep up the good work with feeding your staff with optimism. And the other comment I have, and then we can go to Denise real quick, is, you know, Kevin, you're a man of integrity. I have observed you, and you are grace under pressure. We are 100% sure that leadership is always under scrutiny, and this is no different. And so nice to hear. You know that there are going to be errors, but that's how we learn. So if there's anything that the board can do to help support you, because it's not easy in that position, but boy, I really just commend you for your integrity and your humility, because I've observed nothing but that. And just knowing that helps me rest better about this whole thing. You know, so thank you for the leadership and modeling for us the importance of humility and grace under pressure. And that's what I wanted to say to you. And then I want to just go to Denise because she has had her hand up.
Thank you so much.
And actually, Maria, you said exactly what I was going to say. I want to just thank Kevin for his servant leadership, for really listening to consumers, responding so quickly, and I know that you have a lot on your plate. I had the great opportunity to spend 2 days at the open house, and I wanted to hear what people were saying, and I saw the lists, and you guys were documenting everything people were saying, and I'm sure sorting through lots of things. Certainly nothing's going to be absolutely perfect, as you know, any of us that have started a new program or built a home or whatever. But I guess just giving it up to Kevin, what a great, successful 2 days of open house. And as the chair of the Combined Community Services Board, listening to our community as well as the new chair of the community engagement team, I'm just thrilled to have a partner that really listens to our community. And as Maria said, the staff, I recognized a few, and actually a few of them stopped and chatted, and we spent some time. They are so excited for the great work that's going to be done in the building and within the community. So I just wanted to thank you and also extend any help that I can be as a nurse, as a clinician, in some of my contacts. Please feel free to reach out to me.
I'm still looking for a social worker. So if anybody has leads.
Mary's a social worker.
Hey, Mary.
Awesome. Well, are there any other questions or comments from the board for Kevin? We just want to thank you for the update. Denise, you have your hand up once more? No? Okay. Maybe I'm just mouse happy. Kevin, thank you for your time.
Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it.
All righty.